there is anecdotal evidence about candidates, not just in Indiana, but across the entire country, who are signing up to run in primary elections, sometimes against incumbents, and sometimes just to provide a second option in the fall. We'll have to see how that all plays out before we get to Election Day. But at this point, it's starting to look like primary elections could end up being pretty exciting. Obviously, up your way with the announcement from Charlie Brown, I think you can expect a very exciting primary race there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you head down south and you go into the southern congressional districts, we have one that's actually somewhat hotly contested between Democrats trying to unseat Trey Hollingsworth. So we could have a very interesting-looking primary. At this point, there are a lot of people who are saying it's going to be active up and down the ballot all over the place. You know, in the end, I think the reality will be a little less than that, but still more exciting than we usually see in primary elections, I think it's safe to say.
I know that certainly, and we've had some of your comments earlier about the U.S. senatorial race and how the Republicans are going to be, certainly if they haven't already, they will be going full force against Democrat incumbent Joe Donnelly. And certainly after the vote over the weekend in the Senate on the tax reform package, we have comments from both Senator Donnelly as well as Senator Young, their feelings about the measure as it's shaped up. And of course, it's now gone on to conference committee. It'll be reconciled with the version that's come out of the House of Representatives. And I'm sure that this is going to mean even more debate and certainly more comments that will be made from both sides, I guess, about it.
Yeah, and what will be interesting is actually to see how that plays out in the Republican primary. I mean, it will be significant by the time we get to November of 2018 as well.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Republican primary, I think we need to keep in mind that everybody talks about the two front runners as Messer and Rokita. But we have Mike Braun, who's running a bunch of television commercials, and some other folks in that race. It could be that in the primary, the vote for the budget will actually be viewed as a bad thing because of what some are considering to be the addition of too much debt. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out, but it certainly is going to make things interesting in both May and in November.
Let's get back to the General Assembly issues, and there are a number of them, I'm sure, that will come up here. We know that at least now one that's certainly not on anybody's real radar right now is one that I'm sure that, that State Representative Charlie Brown has already said he's going to bring back. He's going to try to see if we can revisit the statewide smoking ban that was approved with the exceptions that were tacked onto it during the final debate. He wasn't happy, certainly, about it. I know that he's already said that this was one of the things he wants to try to see accomplished before he finishes up. And with this is last General Assembly session coming up, is to see some changes made. But there's some other issues we know, too, that are likely to come up, and certainly a lot of problems that the legislature has addressed and is going to have to address. And I know one of them in particular is going to be the opioid crisis.
There is. And if we can go back to smoking for just a second,
sure. Mm-hmm.
Just think about how recently the idea of a smoking ban anywhere was just unthinkable. It's really not been that long. You know, it's 10, 15 years, maybe 20 years in some localities. But we're really looking at a definite shift in people's understanding of where it's okay to smoke and not smoke, and even some bars and restaurants that are choosing to somewhat voluntarily segregate smokers from non-smokers so that the air is a little bit clearer. So, you know, who knows? Maybe this will be the year in which something substantial can be done there. As far as opioids are concerned, this is interesting because it, just about everybody says this is a major problem. But just last week, the state sent signals that said no more money going to programs regarding opioids.
Mm-hmm.
And that obviously is significant because for a lot of communities, they don't have an existing program, or their program is overtaxed. So we get to see how that plays out. That could just be sort of a bargaining position with folks recognizing there will be a need for additional funds. And then again, maybe there are some folks who are hoping that federal money will flow through and help out that way.
It could be, yeah, but with what the Trump administration has already said that it wants to do in the months ahead on the issue of opioids, a problem on a national level, to be sure. When going from controlled substances and the like being abused to alcohol. And we know that that's been, of course, a big issue, not related, but we know that a study commission has come out with some information, and at least recently they've even talked about the possibility we might get to see some Sunday sales of alcohol, although not exactly as much as what some people have been pushing for.
Right. I've been telling folks for years who walk up to me and say, well, this whole thing is just ridiculous. Why doesn't the legislature do something? I've always said, as long as the legislature is only hearing from lobbyists, people with a healthy interest in the issue, they're going to find plenty of reason to either support or oppose Sunday sales and cold sales in certain locations. It's when the people start speaking out that the legislators will finally decide to move in a particular direction. And I think some of those interest groups are starting to recognize shifts in understanding or positions within the community. And so they are now trying to figure out how to negotiate something that is not as damaging to them as opening up the barn completely, but, you know, still moves a little, quote, forward, some would say. Others would say not so much further forward, but moves us a little bit forward while still maintaining some of the control that those interest groups currently have.
Are we likely to see any real education-related issues come up this time? We know last session and before we've had other issues, and some of it, of course, dealing with the situation in the community of Gary and to a lesser extent in Muncie, where we've had school districts that have had problems. Are we likely to see any issues involving school districts or at least the new iLearn testing system come up?
Yeah, I think there are a number of issues there. iLearn clearly will come up again because we're not set to do that yet, so that will come back up. I think that the high school graduation requirements are going to come up in one way or another. I think the recent report on a national level that pointed out the performance of charter schools will cause us to revisit that. There's a court ruling recently about Goshen College not being able to be a sponsoring school for charter schools, a sponsoring entity for charter schools. So there is plenty of reason to think that we will see quite a bit of education legislation, or at least conversations about it. And there's one that a lot of people probably aren't thinking about, and that's actually the size of districts.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember back to the Kernan Shepherd report from a number of years ago, back when Governor Daniels was governor instead of president of Purdue University, that commission actually suggested restructuring or consolidating school districts, smaller school districts, into larger ones, in part because of economies of scale. And while there were some small school districts that were able to say, hey, by most financial measures, we're better than virtually every other large school district, why are you making us fold in with another? The answer typically was, you are the exception. There are economies of scale that can be achieved if we consolidate school districts. But for people who've been around for a considerable amount of time, they'll remember when we tried doing this back in the 1950s, some of it was done, but it's painful because people have deep attraction and connection to their school districts.
We were already going through that now in a different sense with the Gary Community Schools. They have too many schools and not enough students, and they have to take a look at that. That's one of the issues, along with the financial issues that the school district is going through right now.
Yeah, exactly. So you look at a place like Gary or Indianapolis where they're actually closing schools down. Muncie did this not too long ago. They're actually having to close schools down. And so that, you know, the attachment that people have to their school district, even within district, people have attachment to their high school. And so the argument about which one gets closed becomes very personal.
We're talking with Andy Downs, who's executive director of the Mike Downs Center for Politics in Fort Wayne, and talking about some of the issues coming up with the General Assembly session in the weeks ahead. And getting back to taking a look at making some changes, we talked about school district size. And I know that there's a possibility, I don't know how much of a possibility it will be, that redistricting is going to come back up for the lawmakers to consider this time around, I understand.
Yeah, it certainly will. There have been hearings. There have been not only hearings by the legislature, but community groups also sponsoring hearings around the state. This is getting a lot of attention at the national level because of a Supreme Court case that's moving its way through the system right now, or a court case that's moving its way through the Supreme Court right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come up. The question is whether or not any action is taken or when any substantial action is taken. What a lot of people are pushing for is an independent, quote-unquote, independent commission to draw the maps in Indiana. But in Indiana, the legislature still has to play a role in it, according to the Constitution. So, you know, it would be possible that this body could draw a map, and then the legislature would be allowed to tweak it in some way, shape, or form. But this is tough because whoever is in power, since they get to draw the maps, they don't necessarily want to give that power up. That results quite often in maps that favor one party or the other, and that's what people are trying to minimize. By law, all that has to happen is the districts are equal in population, they're as compact as possible, and that there's a border, a contiguous border that goes all the way around the outside of it. But what a lot of people focus on is the need for competitiveness. The moment you have districts that are more competitive, you get more exciting elections, you get more involvement from people, and they say that's really what redistricting should be about. Unfortunately for them, that's not really what the law is about, although the Supreme Court case that's moving through might change that.
I understand, Andy, that there's some talk that maybe we'll see some national-related issues come up at some point in the General Assembly session. Do you think that we're likely to see something, for example, along the lines of the concern about hate crimes and even about the carry arms without a permit? Are they likely to come to a statewide level anytime this session?
I think both of those. I think you could also probably throw in their health care to some degree. You know, we're still waiting, the state's waiting to hear from the feds regarding HIP 2.0 right now. But the carry issue, there is a movement afoot to actually have reciprocity between states. So if you have a concealed carry permit in one state, you automatically have it in another. There will be states that will react to that, either by embracing it or trying to protect themselves from it, as the way some people would probably word it. So I think that's certainly possible. And, you know, the hate crime stuff, we've been seeing attempts at that for years and years and years here in Indiana, and it typically doesn't get very far. But with the Religious Freedom Restoration Act and the fix, quote-unquote fix, that happened a couple of years ago, it's possible that things have maybe calmed down enough that that can surface as a discussion point again, as opposed to a reactionary debate. This could actually be an honest discussion. There were a number of communities around the state that considered their own local legislation. Some adopted, some didn't. And so maybe it's time for that kind of discussion to happen. But we have to keep in mind it's a short session. So they don't get, you know, they don't get the full 4 months to mess around. They've got to sort of limit what they're going to focus on.
Yeah. I know probably another issue, too, is the one that's the hot-button issue right now is immigration. And we know even here in northern Indiana, there's a concern that has been voiced about the possibility that there might be some type of immigration prison facility set up, even as to us, as close, and even to you as far as Fort Wayne's concerned, as close as Elkhart County. And that is one of the big issues that's being debated right now.
Yeah, I was talking with someone who's an attorney who does almost exclusively immigration and national naturalization legislation, and I said I asked her if things have gotten confusing, and she said no, in part because no laws have changed, but she did talk about how certain agencies are changing the way they're doing things. So these are administrative changes; these are not law changes in the actual law itself, and that's causing confusion. So, you know, the law is the same, and there's some confusion about who's taking charge over what and how people are doing certain things. There are, of course, plenty of stories about changes in enforcement at the federal level, and then also stories about the feds insisting that local governments play a role different than perhaps the way they've played it before. I think it's a safe bet that there will be something introduced and some kind of a discussion. But, you know, keep in mind, the legislature passes only 20 to 30% of all legislation that's introduced. That means an awful lot of stuff gets introduced and gets a first reading and maybe gets a hearing, but doesn't make it any further. Immigration could fall into that category. We'll have to wait and see.
Okay. One last time we went to have a chance to talk about what's coming up here in the legislative session, Andy, is one other issue about business-related issues. We know that a lot of time was spent, of course, in the longer session last year to deal with the issues of infrastructure repairs, and that's, how the increase in the gasoline tax came about. There's an issue which even strikes home here in Northwest Indiana in particular. We're seeing the impact of what is happening with the big-box stores closing up, and they've gone and appealed the property tax assessments that have been levied on some of these communities, in particular the town of Merrillville, is facing that. They're going to be losing revenues because of a judge's decision that the tax assessment is too high, and in turn that's going to be less revenues and property taxes, in particular in Merrillville, that they're facing here. Is that likely to be an issue that will come up before the lawmakers this next session?
In part because that case is actually working its way through the system. The legislature often says, well, let's leave it alone until the judicial branch is done. They sometimes take that hands-off approach. However, we're talking about a pretty significant financial issue for a lot of communities, whether it's Merrillville, we have some here in Fort Wayne, virtually everybody has one of these things. And so you know, the tax caps have hurt local governments quite a bit in terms of revenue getting cut off because of the caps. This would be just another hit on top of basically close to a decade now of revenue hits. I could see some legislators being sympathetic to local governments and wanting to help them find a way to deal with this. But at the same time, boy, those tax caps were awfully popular, and local governments still have at their disposal the ability to implement and increase income tax. It could be that the legislature says, you know what, the court's dealing with that issue, and you have within your power income tax and other taxes, wheel tax, et cetera. Figure it out yourself. We're not going to pass any laws regarding property tax right now.